I'd like to read tonight from Luke's Gospel, two scriptures that will be very well known to everybody here. First one's in chapter 14, chapter 14 of Luke's Gospel, and verse 15, and one of those that were lying at table with them. Hearing these things, said to him, that is to Jesus, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And he said to him, a certain man made a great supper and invited many. And he sent his bondman at the hour of supper to say that to those who were invited, come, for already all things are ready. And all began without exception to excuse themselves. The first said to him, I have bought land and must go out and see it. I pray thee, hold me for excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, hold me for excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and on this account I cannot come. And the bondman came up and brought back word of these things to his lord. Then the master of the house in anger said to his bondman, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring here the poor and crippled and lame and blind. And the bondman said, sir, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and there is still room. And the Lord said to the bondman, go out into the ways and fences and compel to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you, that not one of those men who were invited shall taste of my supper. Now in chapter 15, verse 21, and the son said to him, this is the younger son, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his bondmen, bring out the best robe and clothe him in it. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found. And they began to make merry. And his elder son was in the field. And as coming up he drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and having called one of the servants, he inquired what these things might be. And he said to him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and well. But he became angry and would not go in. And his father went out and besought him. But he answering said to his father, behold, so many years I serve thee, and never have I transgressed a commandment of thine. And to me hast thou never given a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But when this thy son, who has devoured thy substance with harlots, is come, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. But he said to him, child, thou art ever with me, and all that is mine is thine. But it was right to make merry and rejoice, because this thy brother was dead, and has come to life again, and was lost, and has been found. I know that everyone in this room has heard the gospel from this desk. I don't know what the effect has been in the hearts of those who've heard. God knows. He knows the heart of everyone who's here. He knows where your thoughts are right now. He knows what you've done this past week. He knows all about you. The fact that I do know is this, that the gospel that you've heard, perhaps over weeks, months, or years, has told you the good news of salvation. And the other thing that I know for sure is this, that today we are nearer to the day when the Lord will come and when God will judge this earth than we've ever been. It's a solemn thing to me. I recall years of hearing the gospel where it was just a story. Not that God didn't touch my heart. Not that God didn't bring me to know the Saviour. But the gospel message, time and again, just came to my ears as a pleasant sound. The question is, have you answered to the gospel and accepted God's terms of salvation? Because mercy's door is soon going to close. I think I've said from this desk in the past that I can't tell you when it's going to be. I don't know that. The Bible doesn't tell me. But what it tells me is this. That the coming day of judgment will be a reality like this world has never known before. And every one of us that's still in our sins is under judgment. Now, if there's anyone tonight who is still in their sins, I would urge you to hearken to the gospel. And don't be like me, just letting it be a pleasant sound that just goes past you. And at the end of the gospel, you say, well, I enjoyed it, or maybe you didn't. But that was all it was to you, just a message. You never actually realized that God was speaking to your soul. That hymn that we sang at the beginning, you know, it's quite a solemn hymn, isn't it? I remember years and years ago, a gospel preacher saying to me, I would never use hymn number 354 in the gospel. And I said to him, well, why is that? Why would you not use it? Oh, he says, it finishes on such a negative note. Thou wilt not, thou canst not be there. But you know, it's true. It might not be what you would term glad tidings, but it's part of God's message of salvation. There's only one way of salvation, you know. Only one way. And the fact is, it's open to you tonight. The hymn tells us some guest will be the last. But then it says, but there's still room. And there is tonight, for everyone here, there's still room, no matter how many times you may have heard the gospel, no matter how many times it may have bypassed your heart and gone over your head. Tonight, you can answer to the gospel and receive Christ into your heart. And that's why I preach. So that you might know what it is to have the assurance of a heavenly home, your sins forgiven, and peace with God. I've read from these two scriptures, not that I intend to go into them in any extent of detail, but I want to speak about these persons who wouldn't come in. God invites you, you know, in the gospel. It's a wonderful thing there. God invites us to accept his invitation. You ever thought how he feels about it if you don't accept it? You think, you give an invitation to something really special. To somebody really special. And they refuse that invitation.
they say to you, I've got something better to do. I've got something more important to do than respond to your invitation. How do you feel? Wouldn't you feel snubbed? The fact that you've gone to extraordinary lengths to lay on a feast, a banquet, whatever you call it, for your friends, and you invite them in, and one by one, they all decline. They say, no, thank you, I'm too busy, I can't come. And how do you feel? Well, look, tonight it's not me inviting you to a banquet. I can't do that. But God is inviting you. He's inviting you to come to all that he provides for you, which is salvation from your sins, peace with God, a hope of an eternity with him. Yon heaven is our home. That's God's invitation. And what will you do with it? Tonight, don't be like this person to whom the Lord was speaking. If you look at the preceding section in chapter 14, you see that the Lord was telling them about some of the principles of Christianity that were being introduced. He was speaking to them of a man who gave place to persons seated at his banquet and said to them, go up higher. And then, in the later one, he says, that those that have least honour should have greater honour. And, dear friends, someone says to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. What a statement it is of a platitude. You think of these persons in the presence of the Lord. Here he is speaking to them of things that relate to eternity. And yet, they really can't take in the import of what he's saying. These three persons refuse the gospel. It's often been said, hasn't it, that these three categories mark us constantly. The first man, something to see. The second man, something to do. The third man, someone to be with. All these excuses that men put forward, that they can't accept the message of God's glad tidings, when God himself has gone to extraordinary lengths to provide for you. He's given his only son in order that your sins might be removed. Friend, will you not accept that invitation? Will you stay tonight in your sins, in the uncertainty of not knowing when the day of judgment will fall, at the same time agreeing with me, I'm sure that tonight you're nearer to the day of judgment than you've ever been, refusing the offer of God's salvation? That's what it is with these persons. They began to excuse themselves, or the word might read, refuse or decline God's message, God's offer of grace. And tonight, where do you stand in relation to this one who's extending the invitation to you tonight? I would that you might come to Christ tonight and know what it is to have peace with God based upon the precious work of Christ. Redemption's work that has been established a righteous basis whereby God can forgive the sinner. And it's open to you tonight to stand upon the ground that he has won. Dear friend, these scriptures that we know so well speak to us of the heart of God. And if you would have felt snubbed, if it had been you that had extended this invitation, how does God feel that you should say no? How does God feel that you should put it off to yet another week when you would hear the gospel perhaps? When all the time you knew that there might never be another opportunity to know your sins forgiven and to trust in this wonderful Saviour. The one who has been to Calvary's cross. The one who has endured suffering and shame. And he endured it for you and he endured it for me. So that our sins might be washed away completely before a righteous God. One who has upheld every right of God perfectly. And tonight, he invites you to come in. The invitation here goes out. The poor and crippled and lame and blind come in. Oh friend, that's like us, still in our sins. That's like you and me. We may not recognize it as our true condition, but there it is. But the invitation's extended to you. And the bondman says here, "Sir, it is done as thou hast commanded, and there's still room." Oh, I love those words. To think that God has room in his heart for the sinner tonight. The door's still open wide. Mercy's door is open to you. Go out into the ways and fences and compel to come in. Oh, God would compel. It's the compulsion of divine love towards the sinner tonight that would draw you to the Saviour and would cause you to know that the one that suffered at Calvary and the love that he displayed there is the love that is appealing to your heart tonight, that you might come and know the blessings of the enjoyment of the presence of God because your sins have been forgiven. Well, now I come to Luke 15 because, well, I'm sure all of us have heard many gospels preached from Luke 15. Usually, of course, it's the younger son, isn't it, that's the example in the gospel. But I want to speak about the older son tonight. The younger son came into wonderful blessings, as we all know, and I didn't read all the story because we know it well, but I just wanted to link to it, which was why I just read those few verses as I started. And there we have, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." You know, I speak of coming in and coming to the Lord. But true repentance is needed. I have sinned. You know, perhaps it's something that's easy to say, but this younger son did more than say it. He felt it. He knew it. He knew his heart was far from God. He knew he'd sinned. And perhaps it's not easy for us to recognize. If we haven't behaved like the younger son, if we haven't gone into the far country. But there's the elder son. And I want to speak about him tonight because he's like me. He stayed at home. He did, so he says, whatever his father asked him to. He worked in the field. "I've never transgressed a commandment of yours," he said. There's many like that. They think they've never done enough wrong to really be a sinner. But you know, just one sin sets me apart from the presence of God.
one sin is enough that I need a Saviour. And tonight I commend God's love to you because it's extended towards you, whether you think you're the younger son or whether you think you're the older son. You need God's love and you need his salvation. That verse 18 often affects my heart. He became angry and he would not go in. And what happened? Did his father argue with him? Did his father berate him? Dear friend, the God that I commend to you tonight is a God whose love is extended towards you. His father went out and besought him. Friend, there's a God tonight who would beseech the sinner ere it's too late, while it's still the day of mercy, while it's now is the accepted time and now the day of salvation to come in. Why will you not? Why will you refuse the message? Oh, but you say, I've been nothing like as bad as the younger son. Maybe you haven't. But I tell you this. The younger son came into the blessing. There's no record that the elder son ever did. Where do you stand? You think you're the elder son? Think you've never transgressed a commandment? I don't suppose we really do. But you know the scripture tells us, even if we doubt it, the scripture tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it tells us too that there's not one righteous. No, not one. No one. Every one of us needs this Saviour. And tonight, the God of love who gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have eternal life, that same God is beseeching you tonight. It's the same love. And that love is towards you. And he's able and he's willing to save you. Will you come and accept the work that has been completed? I always think it's a solemn thing that we're not told what happened to this elder son. We don't have any right to say that he never came in because the scripture doesn't tell us. But neither does it tell us that he came. Just the same that I can't say for sure if everyone in this room has come to Christ or whether they haven't. I know you've heard the gospel, but what have you done with it? What will it profit thy soul unless 'tis relied on by thee? No matter what your status, no matter who you are, God is no respecter of persons. But he requires from you tonight an answer. He requires that you lay hold of the work of Christ and reach out to him, for his love is extended towards you. And I commend God's love to you. We speak of the grace of our God, so boundless, so rich, and so free. But unless you accept the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, and there is no other way, that heavenly home thou wilt not, thou canst not be there. It's a solemn thing, isn't it? The warning in the glad tidings is there clear for us to see. The danger of delay is obvious. It's Satan that says, don't worry about it.
It's Satan that says put it off.
But tonight, God says, you come now and have to do with me as a Savior God. I've got the answer. I've got all that you need.
As committing yourself and trusting in Christ, he's provided the blessed Holy Spirit that you might have the power to be here for him, that you might tread a pathway here, committed to him, committed to his will.
He has everything for you. And the way is open to you. The way is open to you tonight.
If only you'll come. If only you'll allow those barriers to be broken down and come in simple faith and trust and repentance at the feet of the Saviour.
And know that everything can be resolved and you can have that peace with God. Well, I preach a gospel like this because I feel the urgency of the moment.
It's not that I doubt for a moment that many of those that I know and love in this room are trusting in their Saviour and love him. But it's just that soon the Lord is going to come and take all those that love him to be with him. And I don't want anyone here to be left behind. It's just that I know that the day of judgment is about to dawn on this world.
And everyone will have to do with God.
Tonight you can have to do with him as a saviour.
But if you don't trust him as your saviour, you'll meet him one day as a judge. How solemn it is, isn't it? Tonight you can come to Christ. And if there's anyone here who has any doubt in their mind as to whether they're really trusting in this Saviour, I would just ask you tonight to turn to him just where you are in prayer and ask for his forgiveness. Ask him to bring into your heart the peace that comes in trusting in Christ and to make it real to your soul. I trust that everyone may have a blessing from it, for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.